I've also got a biological one that I use. It's called pen, paper, ask wife. So you write stuff down with a pen and paper, and then you ask your wife if that's the right thing to do. And if she says yes, happy wife, happy life.
But what happens, David, when it's wrong and then you've got to scrap it and start over with another piece of paper?
Oh, that's a wife reboot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Paradise. Yep, it's another episode of David versus David, the podcast that is for the small to medium business owner. Don't worry, folks, when it comes to advertising and marketing, there are people out there who have got the same problems that you've got and the same problems that I've got and the same problems that the guy next door's got, because you're not alone. I'm David Council here in beautiful paradise of Tasmania, and in the northern paradise is...
Hey, what about me? It's David up here in the north, and I've got problems too.
Oh, dear.
Good morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm really good. It's a good day. We've had a great day today. We've been enjoying ourselves. It's still a little bit of the day left for me as we're recording this. So, yeah, good stuff to have.
Still a little bit of the moon left for me as we record this. It's about 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's pretty dark outside, and the moon is still going down, and the sun is yet to appear. So, recording from darkness.
I just thought of something as I was doing that introduction. Something just popped into my brain, and I'm going to say it just so that I can get it out of my brain, because we all know I'm a bit ADD, and, you know, squirrel, oh, hello, what's that? We talk to business people all over Australia every day, and it is remarkable how people think that the problems that they've got are just their problems and no one else has them. And they look at people like yourself, David, who are working out of the UK and go, well, you know, because they're in England, they must be far more sophisticated than we are, and their problems wouldn't be anywhere like the problems that we have. I'm sure that the problems that they have are big problems. They wouldn't share our problems. And you know what? That's just not the fact. The more I travel, the more that I see that everybody, doesn't matter whether you're in London, New York, Paris, Rome, Sydney, Hobart, Toowoomba, Woolloomooloo, Cheshire, the problems are all exactly the same. It's just the location that's different.
I think that's fair. I was tempted to be flippant halfway through that comment you started with there. But no, in reality, you're absolutely right. Small businesses, they face the challenge of budgets, of resources, of whether that's time or money or ability to beat the bigger guys, you know, other people starting up against them, just not knowing where to turn to half the time. You know, and which is where we thought something like this podcast would be a useful tool for those people. And the feedback we're getting seems to be pretty good too. But no, you're absolutely right that people all over the place, wherever you're located, issues are remarkably similar all around the world. I guess people have different laws to contend with and some different cultural things here and there. But in the grand scheme of things, small problems, big problems, they're pretty much the same problems that people face everywhere.
Exactly right. Now, today, David, we thought we might have a chat about habits.
We did.
And by habits, I don't mean, hey, buddy, can I have $5 for a cup of coffee? Not that sort of habit. We're talking about the habits that will help you get into a routine that will allow you to solve problems and deal with things on a day-to-day basis so much easier. And I've just realized as I'm saying that, I am fist pumping and banging my hand into my other hand, because this is really important stuff.
Bad habit. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, obviously there's good habits and there's bad habits. And I mean, this topic for this conversation came about from a little preamble we had just before we went on air and hit the record button. which was to say that I think this is going to be something like episode 26 or 27 off the top of my head. This is a habit that we've got into, a creative habit, that we make the time and set aside the time every week to make these recordings. If we'd left it as a very ad hoc thing, or let's come back when we like to get back in touch again or whatever, it would have been probably up to about episode 3 by now. We would have maybe, talked about a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it wouldn't be very useful. So it's a good habit, and behind the habit is a plan, and the plan, not a master plan to take over the world or anything like that, but a plan of ideas, of topics that we'd like to cover. And every now and again, we throw in a random one as something crops up, rather like this, really. It's taken the place of whatever else might be in the plan. But we've been discussing things like list building and SEO and building websites and content and all sorts of good stuff over the last 26 weeks. The habit is there for purpose. It's a habit that's been developed to lead to a good outcome, which is hopefully, tell us otherwise, but hopefully a worthwhile podcast that's worth listening to, that provides benefits, that provides hints, tips, advice, and everything else that we aim to cover in this.
Actually, while we're talking about things that we've covered, just another squirrel moment here. I was talking to a client this afternoon, mate, who said to me, listen, I think I've got a problem with my website. I've gone from being on page one of Google to I can't find my website. And I said, oh, really? Let's have a look at that. I said, when did it change? And he said, oh, I suppose it was about 6 weeks ago. And I said to him, oh, hello.
We know what that is, don't we?
Yeah, so that's Hummingbird, buddy. Your SEO has just gone down the chute because you haven't been updating the content of your website properly, and you're not keeping up with the way that people are searching. Oh, what'll I do? Well, it's time to sit down, and we need to inject lots of new content and work on the SEO of your website. If you haven't listened to the episode that is on Hummingbird, then because you've just joined the podcast at this point, go back and listen. It was a really good podcast. They're all really good, but it was a good podcast.
And we have covered as well in the past the blog content, the fact that you need to publish regularly and often. You can, again, plan out what you're going to come up with. And we mentioned it in those episodes. Don't have a super blitz where you suddenly think of, 15 blog posts I can write, and you whack them all up instantly. Plan out what you're going to write about and think about. Sketch out the main topic. Break it down into subtopics. Break those down into subtopics. And suddenly you've got 25 articles that you can write or get written for you or get people in your business to write for you. Or record them as an interview, or record them as a video, and then transcribe the content into the written word. Whatever floats your boat, whatever's easiest for you. But there's loads of ways of making really good content, and then drip it out once a day, once every 2 days, once a week, whatever you're reasonably capable of doing. Because you have to realise that these things do take time. But once you get in that habit, then it becomes so much easier to maintain. And, behind every habit is a why do it? Because obviously you don't want to sit there thinking, I must spend an hour of my Friday morning every week doing something, but I don't know why I'm doing it. And the reason, of course, is to add more content that is both useful for your visitors to read or look at or listen to. And the side benefit of that, which is a pretty major one, is that Google will come along like a human visitor and think, that looks useful, and start ranking you for all sorts of phrases that you should be targeting, and even some that you probably didn't realize that you should be targeting. It will start picking up on all sorts of things, which is what Hummingbird is all about.
That's right. And we all know that the enemy of a routine or a habit is procrastination. Mm-hmm. Putting it off, saying, oh, I'm just too busy. Just before we came on this podcast, I was talking to a client who was telling me all of the problems that they were having in their business and giving me all of the reasons why they hadn't organized 5 photos for their website that we were discussing 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. She had an enormous list of reasons why. I understand some of them are valid, but seriously, she's just procrastinating. She's putting it off. And the longer she leaves it, the harder it gets. And yet if she had a routine and said, you know what? I'm just going to take one photo, and I'll take one photo a week. She would have had it knocked over by now.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a florist that we look after very recently, and she had a similar problem. She needs to obviously post pictures of her flowers onto her website regularly. And she wasn't doing it because she didn't have a routine. She had all of the mm-hmm. equipment to do it, but she didn't have a routine. Now, I just gave her a routine. You know, in 5 minutes, I solved her problem. It didn't cost her anything. I was standing at her counter having a chat with her and gave her the routine. Damn, there's an opportunity missed.
You should have walked away with free flowers anyway, David.
Yes, I should have. Oh, look, in all honesty, Tanya from Ray's Florist, hello, you're lovely. She gives me free flowers all of the time. She's fantastic. But we solved that problem for her, and now she regularly gets pictures up onto her website and, surprise, surprise, onto her Facebook page.
Yep.
She is doing a power of good for her business just with that routine.
Yeah, no, indeed, absolutely. And going back to the first, you know, so all the excuses that that were there to as to why not to come up with those five photos in the first place, and probably took more effort to come up with the multiple reasons as to why that hadn't happened and explain them to you than to actually do the things in the first place.
Yeah, she's not hurting me. She's not hurting me by not taking those five photos.
No, absolutely.
She's hurting her own business and then justifying it to me as to why she was hurting her own business. That's like, you know, going along and saying, please punch me in the head. It's like, it's what? No, just punch me in the head. I'll feel better for it. If you just punch me in the head. Oh, God. And you know what else? Lack of a plan. You have got to have a plan, because a plan is the antidote to procrastination. When I first stopped being a radio announcer, so I came out of a world where, you know, pretty much I rocked up to work, I picked up the CDs that I was going to play, I looked at the papers. I suppose that's a plan. You know, that was my routine. Yep. You know, I formulated the sort of things that I was going to talk about. I went on the air and I talked to people and played records and was entertaining. And then I finished doing that and I walked away. So, you know, level of responsibility, not very big. But when I moved into management, I had to be organized. You know, I had more than pick up CDs, read paper, talk to people, you know, funny man, tell jokes. I had to make a list of things that I had to accomplish during the day. I had people that I had to go and see. So I had to get a diary. And no one had ever shown me how to use a diary. And remember, this is in the days before the internet existed. So I couldn't even go on YouTube and look up, you know, great diary techniques. I had to, I had a Filofax, for those of you who are old enough. A Filofax was what people had before laptops.
It was the tool, in fact, purely for, I don't know, they're actually rather nice items, I think. And I have one too, and I can actually still see it on the corner of my desk, and it is bulging with everything that I added to it in about, 1987, 88, 89, something like that. And I don't think I've touched it much since maybe the mid-90s, something like that.
And you'll remember that part of your routine when using a Filofax, David, was you got to the end of the day and all of that stuff that you hadn't done, you had to transfer to the next day's diary.
Yeah. And that was all, that's right, absolutely. I mean, they were fantastic manual devices, but yeah. The world has moved on and there are planning tools that can help. But I mean, just step back, we'll come on to the planning tools a bit later on, maybe, things that help you devise a plan. But just to revise, just been over there, you know, there's good habits and there's bad habits like procrastinating and so on. But behind a good habit is a plan. There's a reason for doing it, a why to do it. And just moving through planning a little bit, one of the things that can help overcome procrastination, I found, because I've been incredibly guilty of it at times in the past. You have something to do and you think, you don't really want to face up to doing it. You know, maybe it's like you say with a lady with the five photographs. That seems a relatively small thing to do. I might be talking here about something a bit bigger, like a report that you have to do, or you know, something that might be 60 or 70 pages of written content, or maybe you've got a ton of videos that you want to put out. You know, you want to do 30 how to do this type videos or whatever. The overall outcome is a big thing, and it's a thing that you look at this mountain in front of you and you think, oh gee, I you know what, I'm going to go make a coffee, and you think, you know what, that cupboard needs cleaning out, and then you think, yeah but I'll go and wash the car, and then you know or whatever, you know, everything else comes in, or everything else seems more attractive than the mountain that's in front of you.
That's giving into the 11-year-old inside you.
Absolutely.
Because that 11-year-old doesn't want to eat his vegetables, really wants to eat dessert. You know, it's still sunny outside. Mum, can't I go out and play? Do I really have to go to bed? Yep.
So what's the way to overcome that, David? It's to break it down into small, manageable steps.
That's right.
And that actually forms the plan. So your plan, you know, you've got this thing in the center that says mountain, and then you break off, you know, take a leg out from there and say, right, first steps, you know, base camp. Second, and how do you get to base camp? So breaking out from that bit that says base camp, you've got six steps that say this is what we do in order to get to base camp. Then you've got, you know, camp two or something, camp three, camp four, as you hit the summit. So you've got all these branches coming out. You've got all these small twigs going off the end of each branch, each one of which is a step to getting to that objective along the way.
And you've got to break it down into logical steps too. Those steps need to sequentially follow each other in a logical way. It's not like eating that dinner where you go, well, you know what? I've got all these bad things to do. I'm going to do the really horrible stuff first, because you might need to have done other things, you know, logically first. Otherwise, doing that horrible thing just causes more work. So it's got to have a logical order to it.
I don't know if you use any particular tools for that, but I use mind mapping software, which for people that aren't familiar with it, it's something that helps you organise your thoughts into that kind of sequential flow and allows you to sort of drag and drop the branches around. The random thoughts you have, you put it down and then you can move it as you see fit. If you're not familiar with it, it might sound a little bit airy-fairy. But if you are familiar with it, chances are that you've probably found the benefits and realised just quite how good it can be.
I've also got a biological one that I use. It's called pen, paper, ask wife. So you write stuff down with a pen and paper, and then you ask your wife if that's the right thing to do. And if she says yes, happy wife, happy life.
But what happens, David, when it's wrong and then you've got to scrap it and start over with another piece of paper?
Oh, that's a wife reboot.
That's where mind mapping comes in quite good, actually. It allows you. I've saved pads and pads. I've saved trees. I've saved the Amazon through what I've not had to scribble out and rewrite and throw away. But no, absolutely. I mean, get it down. David's quite right. There is nothing wrong with good old fashioned pen and paper. You can go a long way with that. And if that's what you do, even things like post-it notes. I mean, this is a great one. Or a whiteboard, anything you can move around. So pan out each bit on a post-it note, then move the post-it notes into the right order, or use something like Trello, which is another piece of software, or Evernote. Evernote just for jotting down your thoughts as you go along. You know, maybe you're out somewhere and you think, I must make a note of that. Evernote. Or you get products like Notes in Apple Macs and iPads and stuff. And I'm sure there's something similar for the PC and laptop users and notebook users. There are lots of productivity tools that can help you with planning, and that leads back to the habit. If you've planned it out and you know the steps, then form the habit to move through those steps. David says that if you've planned out things in the right logical order to start with, everything else will flow that much more easily.
There is a certain irony, you realize, in me being the one to suggest using pen and paper, because I am such a major league computer nerd. I will turn on a computer and do something on it instead of writing something down on a piece of paper, because I just love computers and technology. But, you know, the old list, pen and paper, you know, sometimes you just can't beat it, especially if it's like a five-step task that you've got to go and do.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no point using a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And that has just reminded me of the good old story about the Americans and the Russians in the space race in the 1960s,
where
the Americans realized they'd need something to write with in space. So they spent about $5 billion inventing a pen that wrote in zero gravity, and the Russians used a pencil.
Yes.
So
still working, you know.
Nothing wrong with a pencil. So, yeah, it works. So, great one. But having said that, you know, we got all the nice pens that we got to use as a result, and skateboards and all sorts of other things that supposedly came out of the good old space race. But hey-ho, that's a different era and a different subject completely. And I've gone off tangent, David, which is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to keep you on track.
So. Yeah, you're the responsible adult. Come on.
Any other things that we're talking about for habits development here, good habits?
Well, autoresponders. I think autoresponders are great habit and routine formers, because they do it for you. You know, they're a computer, they're disciplined. If you can set the autoresponder up, it will follow that pattern over and over again. And you know what? In some of the software that we use, there are certain steps that need to be taken as part of an autoresponder sequence. So what we've done is build emails in that get sent out to various staff members as part of the sequence to say, hey, don't forget, do this, needs to be done by this date. So, you know, it's an autoresponder sequence that's designed to keep staff members focused on the goal, not just to communicate marketing messages out to clients. You know, so if you don't have that level of discipline or you're struggling with it, you know, you really don't want to eat the peas, get the autoresponder to do it for you.
Get the autoresponder to eat the peas. I like it. My kids would like that one. Dad, can we get an autoresponder?
No, you've got a dog and be happy with it.
Yeah. And again, as I mentioned earlier on, you know, different methods for doing things, whatever you can use to encourage your own habits. So if you prefer writing, if you prefer video recording, if you prefer audio recording, whatever's easiest, if it encourages the habit and it's a good habit that follows a plan that leads to an objective that the plan is supposed to support, then do it. If post-it notes and a whiteboard does it better than a piece of software, great. But look at the software tools that are out there. They are designed to help, and people who quite often put up some resistance to them, when they actually start using them, that resistance crumbles and they realise just what they can get from it. And you know, I've been through that once or twice. I'm not quite the techno geek that David described himself as maybe a few minutes ago, but you know, each piece of software that you come across, once you get familiar with it, you learn to love it. Very beneficial. There's another aspect of developing habits as well that led aside from getting your own work done, and David kind of touched on this with the lady with the photos earlier on, is training customers into your habits too, which is aligning customers' habits to do their work that, or to do what you need them to do, so that you can be more productive too. You come across that one much, David?
Yeah, all of the time. You know, in a business like ours where windows open and close that you can do work in, you know, if a commercial has to be somewhere by a specific time, it's got to be there. So you need people upstream to give you information in a timely manner so that you can do what you need them to do. So what we do is we help our clients form those habits to supply that information through to us in a regimented way. So for example, we have an email that goes out to remind all of the car dealers in one state that we deal with that a specific piece of information needs to be supplied through that goes to the paper each week. Now, they know that they've got to get that to us within an hour of that email arriving. So we've trained them what they need to, like what that information is and who to send it to and when it's got to be back by. So that's an automation type habit. There are other habits in my business. For example, we'll use cars again. We require photos of cars to be taken in a specific way. So we've taught people how to take photos to save their money so that we don't have to go out and take the photos. And it needs to come through to us in a specific way. And before we did that, before we created this technique of showing people how a photo needs to be taken, we'd get photos of cars taken from all different angles, and sometimes half the car would be missing, and you know, or they'd chop off the classic one is they'll chop off the bottom of tires. I don't know if you know how hard it is to Photoshop tires back in, because you inevitably ring someone up and say, "Oh, I need you to go and take that photo again because you've chopped off the tires." It's like, "Mate, I'm too busy now. I can't do it. It's outside of my time window." So you know, we're breaking up their excuse for not being able to do it by giving them the correct instructions on how to do it. You may want clients to respond to an offer within a particular period of time. And if you're going to make that type of offer on a regular basis, for example, if you're in a bar that does Toss the Boss, you know, where you I think we all know what Toss the Boss is. It's, you know, Toss the Boss for the drink.
Okay, fair. Not one I've come across there before, David, but...
Okay, haven't done Toss the Boss?
Not that particular phraseology of it, no.
Okay, but anyway, so if that exists for a particular time period, then you want the customers to come in during that time period. So you train them into that habit to do that. So So you've got to get your customers to embrace those habits so that you both get a result out of it. The client gets from your business what they need, in this particular case, drinks, and you get from them a larger number of customers in a specific time period where previously, perhaps, you hadn't seen as many customers.
That's a different take on the another phrase, happy hour.
Yeah, happy hour.
Yeah, which is basically, like you just said there, training people to come in, they can expect. And as a word, that's a quite a big word, expect, to get something at that time. They expect to get their drink at half price, or you know, however much off, discount, whatever, at that particular time. You get their business in return for them getting what they want at a lower cost.
Yeah, like pizza restaurants that after 10:30 at night, or between, say, 10:30 and midnight, with every family-sized pizza that's ordered, you get a free garlic bread or a free bottle of soft drink. Because what happens is after 10:30 at night on certain nights of the week, the trade drops off. So either you shut your restaurant, and therefore your ability to earn money from all of the sunk cost resources that you've got goes back to zero, or you offer an incentive that's time-based for people to come in. Okay, so if you're going to do that, that's a habit you need them to form, because there is a group of people that are still after pizza at 10:30 at night. University students, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, David, I think we've done quite a good coverage there of habits so far, and both planning habits, creating content habits, customer integration habits, for want of a better word. Anything else you'd like to cover there?
Yes. What does it take to form a habit?
Yes.
Let me just say that in the fitness industry, with people that we've worked with, they maintain that it takes 3 weeks. It's doing the same thing over and over again for 3 weeks, every day for 3 weeks. That's what it takes to form a habit. So it's about repetition. Now, obviously, in every business, you can't do the same thing with every person for 21 days in a row. That would be insane. In the fitness industry, it works rather well. But you've got to get repetition. If you're not getting repetition, then people aren't going to embrace it. They're not going to see the benefit frequently enough that will make them go, if I do this, I get that. You know, there's no cause, effect, reward. So you've got to do that with them so that you get that cause, effect, reward. You're able to, you know, get a result.
Yeah, absolutely. A habit is obviously doing something more than once, which is how a lot of habits supposedly start off. whatever the habit is, good habit to create something, or a good habit to try and stop something, lose weight. So you think, I'm going to get in a habit of going for a walk every day. And yeah, you set off with the best of intentions and you do it twice. And then it's a bit wet the next day, so you don't do it. And then the day after that, it's a bit windy, so you don't do it then. And then you've stopped doing it. Habit, you got to do it, repeat it, see your way through it and keep going. And it becomes so much easier once it is a habit.
Carrot and stick, you know, that's what my grandparents used to say. Well, all they're really talking about is training people into a routine. You know, the donkey sees the carrot, the donkey chases the carrot. The donkey doesn't chase the carrot, you whack it with the stick, the donkey chases the carrot. That's the way it works. So repetition, the more that you can get people to do the same thing over and over again, the more it becomes a habit. Drug dealers all across the world rely on this fact.
You're absolutely right, indeed. Controversial note, David.
On that free piece of advice for the drug industry, we'd like to say goodbye. And let me just say, kids, don't do drugs. Drugs are bad.
Absolutely. No, we don't condone that one at all. No. So, right, David, people can find us at iTunes, where they can leave us a super-duper 5-star review, please. They can find us at www.davidversusdavid.com, where they can leave nice comments underneath each blog post that we do. Or they can find us at facebook.com/davidversusdavid, where they can engage with us socially as well if they wish. So I think that's everywhere they can get a hold of us. Have you got any shout-outs or any comments?
Absolutely. I want to say thank you to Michelle McPherson, who gave us a 5-star review during the week. Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Michelle. Love your work.
She's got a great blog as well. She really has. It's good stuff.
Oh, she has. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was only just listening to one of her podcasts this week. She's a very smart lady.
Yeah. I wonder if that triggered her to come and listen to ours then. But if you want to know about Pinterest and adding images on, Michelle's got a lady to knows all about it. She's well into that aspect of social media, isn't she?
See, now you mention it, that could be the reason. I was thinking it was my raw, smouldering sexuality that was drawing her in. But no, there you go. Another illusion shattered.
Sorry, Dave. anybody else?
No, that's all I can remember because I'm doing it off the top of my head and I've actually left my iPhone in the other room. So sorry, folks. The old memory's not what it used to be.
You need to get in the habit of carrying your iPhone around with you wherever you are, David.
Oh, and you know that I do that. It's on the charger. It's suffering.
On the ironic note for this week's episode, I think we shall say goodbye. So it's goodbye from David here in the UK.
And it's goodbye from me in paradise. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.